Good morning. So we're looking today at this passage in Samuel and looking at this request by Israel to have a king. So we mentioned earlier about the idea of being careful what you wish for and what you ask for. This is a long-standing issue for us, where we desire things that may or may not turn out to be what we expect them to be, and they certainly may or may not achieve what we want them to achieve or be as good for us as we had hoped. There's a few comments in the chat. People have related a few stories about, you know, a bike that someone wanted that turned out to be not a new one, or other things that people got that didn't really live up to their expectations. This is a story that goes back thousands of years. There's an Aesop fable called The Old Man and Death. And it's about this tired old man who is out collecting sticks. And he's very frail and he's sick. And he is worn out from this, and he cries out to death, "Come and take me, I've had enough of this." And death comes up to him and says, "What is it that you want?" And the man is so taken aback by this that his request is about to be answered, and he really doesn't want it, and he changes his mind. And he simply asks death, "Well, will you help me pick up these sticks?" It goes right back to Adam and Eve when they wanted something that they couldn't have and shouldn't have. But it's become a trope right through lots of stories. There's lots of stories about, you know, people being granted three wishes. And every time, those wishes don't turn out how people want, and it usually ends up they get in more trouble than before. Or I love a good time travel story, but whenever you go back in time, according to these stories, and try and fix something or change something, you only make it worse. St. Teresa of Elvira lived some hundreds of years ago, about the time of Martin Luther. And she's the patron saint of headaches, if that's useful to you. But she made this comment, at least it's attributed to her. She said, "More tears are shed over answered prayers than unanswered ones." And I think there's a good deal of truth in that, that when we get the very thing that we want, well, it doesn't turn out to be as good as we expected it to be. We've been looking at the story of the judges, the time of the judges, over the last couple of weeks. And you remember this chart that Jono showed us 2 weeks ago. There's this depressing cycle that happens in the judges. When things are going well, the people forget their God and they go their own way. And so God allows some kind of oppressor to come into their lives and make life hard for them. When that happens, the people turn back to God. They cry out to him to save them, and God will send a deliverer, a judge, to get them out of their predicament. And then things are good again, and then the cycle goes on again. And this happens over and over again during the book of Judges. Now, there are some highlights. There's some goodness in the book. We saw last week the romance between Ruth and Boaz and the great significance of that story. That's a terrific story. Samuel himself, the main guy in today's reading, had a remarkable birth to a woman who otherwise couldn't bear children. And she cried out to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her with Samuel. And Samuel turned out to be, you know, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, and he turned out to be effectively the last judge of Israel. They were some of the highlights, But there's plenty of lowlights, plenty of bizarre stories in the book of Judges. There's Ehud, who stabs a man with a sword. The man is so fat that the rolls of his fat close in over the whole sword, and the noise of his death as his guts spill out makes people think that he's on the toilet. Charming stories in Judges. There's Jael that we also looked at a couple of weeks ago, who drives a tent peg through a man's skull. There's Samson. Well, there's no end of strangeness about the story of Samson with his long hair, or getting his hair cut and he loses his strength, eating honey out of the carcass of a dead lion. It goes on and on with Samson. And at the end of the book, there's this most bizarre story of a Levite who has a concubine, and she is gang-raped and murdered, and so the Levite cuts up her body into pieces and express posts the pieces out to the regions in Israel where the perpetrators of that terrible crime lived. Really strange and bizarre stuff. And the book of Judges finishes with this statement. It says, "In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit." They were truly interesting times, disturbing times. And Israel had a hard time keeping it together with God as their king. So that brings us to today's story, today's reading. And the people come to Samuel and they ask him, "Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." They looked around and thought, "The grass is greener outside of our nation. Look at all the nations around. They all have a king. We want a king as well." Now, this is the same problem really that went back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had all of this wonderful stuff in the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect for them, but they longed for the one thing that they couldn't and shouldn't have. And we face that same temptation. Whatever it is we've got, we always think, well, someone else has got something that might be a bit better than what we have. And it can be a struggle for us. It was interesting in the comments that people made in the chat, most of those stories were from people's childhoods. And so maybe it is particularly when you're a kid, you're always looking around and thinking someone else has got it better than you. They've got better toys or a better home or a better holidays or whatever it might be, and you want what they've got. But have we really grown out of that? Have we learnt that lesson? And even as adults, do we still look around and wish that we had some of the things that we don't have, some of the things that other people have? Well, this story has a lot to say to us about that situation. God looks at this request and he says, well, he interprets this request in its real light. The Lord said, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." This is God's explanation of this request. Now, you might think that that's a little bit unfair, because Israel had some justification for the request that they made. That very history, that depressing cycle of judges, the ups and the downs that had gone on for hundreds of years, wasn't really working well for them. Although God was their leader, you know, they would turn away from him over and over again and things would go bad. And the judges would have to restore things back to how they should be. So their history was not on their side. And also, as Samuel got older, He wasn't going to last forever. He was a good judge, but his time was going to be coming to an end. And so what was going to happen after he went? Samuel appointed his two sons as judges to follow him, but they were absolute rogues. They were just in it for themselves. They were lazy and they were corrupt. And I'm sure Israel looked at those two guys and thought, we absolutely don't want them as our leaders. So on the surface, the people had a good reason to say, let's do something different than just having yet another judge and continuing this cycle. But they looked around and they were looking for a king. They were looking for someone who would be their real leader, who would fight their battles for them. But God was supposed to be their king. God was their leader, and God was the one who was fighting their battles. And so God sees their real motives are not that they're rejecting Samuel and his sons and the way of the judges. They are rejecting God. God was not good enough for them. They wanted something else. They wanted what the nations around them had. They wanted a king, and they wanted to be led by that king instead of by their God. So we get this dire warning. God knows where this request is going to lead. So he says, this is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. And in the passage today, we saw all the things that their kings were going to do to them. They were going to be leaders who would take from the people rather than give to the people. The people would become the servants of the king rather than the king serving the people. And so this is what these kings would do. They would take their children and put them into service for their own benefit. They would take their land and their fields for their own purposes. They would take their livestock and give it to the people of their choice. They would take a tenth of the produce. They would take taxes for their own purposes. And the final statement is that your kings will make you slaves. You will serve the king instead of the king serving you. This is God's warning. This is God looking into what's going to happen and saying, this is how it's going to turn out for you. Now, it's one thing to have expectations of what you want and say, I wish I had this. And then when you get it, it doesn't turn out as you expect. But even more disturbing, what if people have told you how bad that thing was going to be? Kathy and I know people from our earlier time who made some fairly bad marriage decisions. And one case in particular we know, it was a fellow who just would not be warned, would not be told, would not listen to advice. So he made a bad choice. He was divorced within a couple of years. So it's a very sad thing to not only have the wrong expectations, but to be warned about the consequences, but still go ahead with what you want to do. So God says, this is the final straw here. This is the final warning. When that day comes, when the kings do all these horrible things, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. Right? When a parent tells their kid, don't do that, and the kid does it anyway, and the parent says, you know, if you go ahead with this course of action and you hurt yourself, don't come crying to me. That's sort of what God is saying here. Don't blame it on God. When it all goes wrong, when it all turns out just like God said it would, don't come crying back to God and blaming him and attributing the fault to him. When we take these stupid actions and do what we shouldn't do, we will wear the consequences of those. And God, throughout the whole of the Bible, is giving us warning after warning about the consequences of the foolish and evil things that we might want to do. Don't blame God when it all goes wrong. So, what happens in the story? The people refuse to listen to Samuel. When Samuel relates what God has said back to them, they say, nope, that is not going to happen. We want a king over us. Then we'll be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and to fight our battles. Even though God is the one who's been fighting their battles, they don't listen to his advice. They want to go a different way. They've decided what they want, and they want to press ahead. And it adds insult to injury that they are asking Samuel, the very one who is warning them what God has said, Samuel is the one that they are asking to say, give us a king. They want to be like all the nations around them. This is a slap in the face. It is a slap in the face to Samuel, and it's a slap in the face to God. After all that he has done for them, it's not good enough. They want something different. So when Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord, and the Lord answered, listen to them, give them a king. Sometimes that's the worst punishment we can get, is to receive what it is we want the most and then to suffer the consequences of it. So God has warned them. They persist in their request, and so he grants them their request and he gives them a king. And guess what? Things turn out exactly as God has said. The next few hundred chapters through the Old Testament, most of them, tell you what the result of this request was. They list king after king after king who does the wrong thing, who turns away from God, who gets Israel into all sorts of trouble until their final downfall. It all happens exactly as God said it would, and Israel does indeed suffer the consequences of their own sin, their own request that they made with wrong motives. That's not quite the end of this depressing story. We do go on from here, and there is really light at the end of this tunnel, because the wonderful thing about the Lord is he is so gracious and forgiving, and even though we may suffer the consequences of our actions, there is a silver lining. There is always going to be a way that God is not put out. God is not thwarted. He's not defeated in what he wants to do. So God is going to bring about his purposes anyway. God has something that he wants to accomplish through his people, Israel. He wants to make them into a great nation. And ultimately, he wants to do a great work in the world through them and their descendants. And so even though God said, I'm going to be your king, they don't want that. They want a king of their own. God gives them a great king. God gives them David, a man after God's own heart. He is the pinnacle of all of the kings, and demonstrates what a man of God should be. Still a man with flaws, and we'll find out more about David next week. But through David and through this line of kings, God will ultimately give us Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the chosen one and the prophesied one. Jesus is the one through whom everything is going to be fulfilled. And all of God's purposes ultimately will come about. Jesus will be the ultimate redeemer and savior and judge. And that's what the whole of history is looking forward to. So all is not lost. Even though the people make a bad decision here, God will still carry out his purposes. And that can be true in our lives as well. Even when we mess up, we don't have to give up. God can still fight for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that nothing is too hard for you and no situation is out of your control. We do ask, Father, that you will spare us from wrong motives and bad decisions. But we also thank you, Father, that when we make them, that you will forgive us if we cry out to you. And you can restore things to be the way that you want them to be and the way that they should be. And we thank you for Jesus, our Redeemer, our Saviour and our Friend. And we pray this in his wonderful name. Amen.